The following message was preached in July 1998 when ministered at a Living Faith Christian Church in Los Angeles. The title of this message is This Man Had Been With Jesus. May this message will be a blessing to you.
Let's give a little bit of time. You're welcome.
Hallelujah.
Give Jesus a hand.
Hallelujah.
Give him the praise.
Hallelujah. Woo. I feel Jesus in this praise. Hallelujah. I'm not used to preach in the sanctuary like this. I used to preach in the household. I used to preach in the courtyard. Hallelujah. The heaven is my tent. Hallelujah. I like preaching in the open door and just preach publicly. And sometimes we have many leaders and the evangelists come together. Hallelujah. I just like small kids. I'm not big apostle. I'm just a small kid. Just follow my father. Hallelujah. And watch what he can do. Hallelujah. And so much fun. Just be with Jesus and look what he can do and beyond our imagination. In China, one place, in this room, we probably pack about 400 people. Hallelujah. And no room to sit down. Everybody pack. And hang on with one another. So close. Hallelujah. We stand there for a whole day in the early morning, 5 o'clock until 9. Hallelujah. No one want to eat. No one want to go anywhere. So hot inside. But the outside is a snow field. Hallelujah. But people want Jesus. So hunger. And we meet for the whole day. And I even don't know what to preach. I just say hallelujah. And people begin to fall on the power. Just like, dum, 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 dum. And just watch. Hallelujah. Oh, I just want more of Jesus be with me. I just want to walk with him. You know, I want to mention a little bit about myself and some of my experience. One time I go to Israel, the first time I've been to Israel, I have been to the Holy Land, the land that Jesus has been walking. So exciting to go there. And Jesus speak to me and say, "Son, I'm going to meet you in a couple of spots. One is on the River of Jordan. And the other one is in the garden of the Gethsemane. And the other one is on the upper room." Hallelujah. Yeah. And then I have a great expectation. Once I on the land of Israel, I sense that sweet presence of Jesus just come upon me. And I think as I walk with another person. And then people listen to their guide tour, which is a Jewish people. But I have my own personal guide with me. Hallelujah. And I don't listen to that guy. I listen to the inside. I say, "Jesus, you have been to this place. You walk on this earth 2,000 years ago. So tell me about it." Hallelujah. And so wonderful. I found one place to another place. And Jesus just began to show me what he sensed at that time, what he did at that time. And just begin bring that reality back to me. Like in the Sea of Galilee, and someone comes up to me and asks for prayer for healing, and I just lay hand on him and say, "Be healed in Jesus' name." He fall on the restaurant on the power of God, and Jesus said, "That's just I did at that time. I didn't change." I said, "Wow, hallelujah! This walk, this is real. That Jesus walk with me, and still the same." Hallelujah. And I can wait to the upper room. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to me, "I'm going to give you what those disciples, those apostles have at that time on the upper room." And it doesn't matter if it's an original spot or not. But matter is the same anointing, the same Holy Ghost. It didn't change. Hallelujah. I can experience 2,000 years ago in the upper room, the same thing they feel. Hallelujah. So I wait for the upper room and people wait in line. I wait in line too. My heart begins to boom, 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 boom. Because it's a divine appointment. I have an appointment with Jesus. He has something gonna give to me. Hallelujah. Not just for myself. I usually go to a different place. I receive anointing. It's not for my own. I have a couple thousands young evangelists and pastor leaders in China. They cannot come to those places. They cannot come to those meetings. I just get whatever I can and go back free gift out to them. Hallelujah. So I say, "Jesus, let me shake the China by the anointing of power on the upper room." Hallelujah. On the same day they has experienced, give me that. Hallelujah. I want that. This is that. Hallelujah. So I once enter the upper room. Hallelujah. And my whole body began to shake. I sense my body get numb. There's such power come upon me. And I even cannot walk. I stand in the room. I have a camera with me. I say, "No, Jesus, wait for a while." Hallelujah. Let me take one picture. So I take one picture. I put my camera down and my whole body just
just hit by the huge power. I throw away a couple feet on the floor, and we experienced Pentecostal at that time. And not just happened to me, the whole group go with me. We experienced the Pentecostal, you know, for about 30 minutes. How to describe it? And people wait outside for 30 minutes, cannot get come in. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, praise God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So sometimes I introduce myself. My English is not quite good because there's a Chinese favor in it, okay? But the same anointing's there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was saved when I was 12. And then at 14, I gave my life to Jesus, want to serve him. And especially at that time, our church is upper class people. There's educated people. It's a prosperous church. And when I was saved and my weeping come to the altar, got saved, and my whole body got numb. There's such a power. I didn't know what's that. So I get scared when I was 12. And don't tell anybody about this. Because I don't know what's going on, happened to me. But at that time, I know that Jesus said, I so love the world. You're gonna bring the people who didn't come to the church. You're gonna go to them. So I go to find some gang member. I want to, you know, bring them to the church. But at that time, I have that passion, but I'm not ready yet. But instead, bring them to the church. I go with them to become a prodigal son for a couple of years. And in 1991, when I come back home to the Father's house, and then I have an encounter with Jesus. And this encounter changed my whole life. It's hard to describe. It's like Paul on the road, and he tried to persecute the Christian, but he met this Jesus. He said, "Lord, who are you? And what you want me to do?" And that encounter has changed his whole life. And I have an encounter with living Jesus. It's nothing is described in the knowledge sense. I know, you know, when I was 12, but now I met him face to face, and he come to me and draw in me in such a reality. I want to tell people he's alive. He's alive. He's still the same. He didn't change. And such a encounter changed my whole life. And then God began to reveal myself, what he's called me to do. When even I was a very young age, or put a burden of China in me. And now everything becomes so clear. When have I have that encounter? And then I be shot in my closet about 6 months every night with Jesus. Hallelujah. If this King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, come to your house, visit you every day, you don't want to go anywhere.
Right, right.
You can pay me huge bucks, I don't want to go anywhere. Hallelujah. Because so reality, I can hardly wait to my closet. Once I close the door and say, "Jesus, I'm on the floor for the whole night, be with him." Hallelujah. This is going on for about 6 months. And then one day Jesus showed us, "Some, you cannot stay here anymore. People are waiting outside." Hallelujah. You have to come out. And then God began allow me to travel to China and see the mighty move of God there. They already had a mighty move of God in the 80s, but in the 90s I just joined them. You know, I like Paul and joined the Peter, John together. Hallelujah. Today I'm gonna share about Acts. And in China we see the Acts in reality. Hallelujah. We're not just reading about it. We see right before our eyes. Hallelujah. So, I like Paul, I just go back to our own people and join with those Peter and John, and we see mighty move of God. I remember first time I preached in China, in the setting smaller than this, we have about 100 people in the city, and in the most like more public place, but we have a meeting there, and after I preach like Peter in Acts, while he preached, the Holy Ghost come down, fill everybody. Hallelujah. I have one translator, pastor with me. Both are speaking tongues, don't know what to do. And everybody is shouting and praising God in loud voice. We cannot hold on so loud. Everybody praising God in such a big voice. Hallelujah. And shake that praise. I don't see the building shaking, but I see people shaking. Hallelujah. And people, you know, watch from outside the windows and doors, and those are non-believers. They are workers. They are in the manufacturing factory and beside the door. They hear the big noise coming up from this building, and they watch what's going on in this building. Hallelujah. It looks so familiar in the Acts 2. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost come, he make a noise. Hallelujah. He come with confirmation, and those are even Gentile gonna wonder, what's this? What you have?
what you speak about. Hallelujah. And then it's just, I kind of worry because in China, we're still under persecution. You cannot do that publicly. I say, Lord, what's going on here? I just first time comer. I didn't know what to do. I say, what's going on? If police come, I'm going to be dangerous. But Lord say, no, be easy. It's my doing it. I do it. I take responsibility. Hallelujah. It's not your responsibility. I say, okay, hallelujah. Do whatever you like. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So many testimony. I have been there about more than 15 times, and also traveled about more than 10 provinces. And I know the enemy hate it because my job is turn China upside down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I introduce myself. It's the one cast the fire on the ground. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I come to cast the fire on the ground. If it's burning, it's not my will. Hallelujah. But usually the people cast the fire don't please people. Hallelujah. People don't like him at all. Hallelujah. But I like it. Hallelujah. I like to set people on fire. I don't know about this picture. When I look, it seems like it's a concrete building. But I look, it's like the tombs, like a graveyard. Hallelujah. But I think it's like a great challenge. Hallelujah. You can speak to the dead bones and rise up like a huge army of God. Hallelujah. Oh. I know this building is moving in the prophetic. I tell you, there's a power in prophetic. If you become mouthpiece to speak up the will of God over the life, over the nation, even over the province, over the cities. Hallelujah. I remember first time I go to Sichuan. The Sichuan is probably the biggest province in China. We have more than 100 million people there. Hallelujah. First time I go there and Lord say, the job is not for you to have a good meeting, good service only. He said, well, I have a word for you to speak to the winds, speak to the future to come. So like a prophet Ezekiel, I go there, I hold the hands of the leadership, I begin to proclaim that Satan listen to me and to give up all those souls in this province. From north, from east, from south, from west, just bring those, release those souls into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah! That's our job. Hallelujah. Oh, speak the destiny of the nation. Speak the destiny of the province. And you can see the great change. You see the mighty move of God. I hardly to describe it. Hallelujah. We have the meeting. Usually we have meeting 5 o'clock to the 9. And usually we meet about five times together. And sometimes we just worship and dancing before the Lord. Probably 1 hour. Everybody's sweating. And then everybody claps. One body after the other. Hallelujah. I don't know how to handle it, but just, they are so hungry. They are so hungry. Also in February, we go to one place. They come only one day meeting. There's a 40 below zero, in C, in a degree. Very cold, snow field. And, I didn't preach much. I go into the room in the morning. They already begin worship. At 9 o'clock, I walk into the room. I call that the upper room because last time I've been there, they all filled with Holy Spirit speaking town. So we go to the same upper room right now. Small room have 70 people and 200 people outside cannot get into the room. I say, what's going on here? And I just walking into the room, people begin to fill with Holy Spirit, begin to, in such a power, in such a fire in them, and they just run into another, just so total mess. I don't know how to handle it. I said, no, this is too crowded. We cannot handle this. Let's go outside. At that time, I have no idea how cold it's outside. So outside is a snowfield. They put a ship on the floor and then, carry people outside. It's so cold outside, but no one cares. We have about 300 people meeting the whole day in the outdoor. In the winter time like this, no one stay in the outdoor. Those crazy Christians, 300 of us, dancing, jumping, shouting, filled with the Holy Spirit, I hope I can show you the video because it's more real when you watch the video. More real, you'll be there. They roaring on the floor a couple hours, just on that snow field. Only thing I can see, just watch. Oh, so cold here. When I lay hand on people, my hand got frozen. You can see how cold is it. But no one care. I kind of worry. They lay on the floor, and so I touch the body, but each body is warm. It's on fire. Hallelujah. Oh, so It's so wonderful to see God just move in that way. People so hunger for a touch with God. They wait for that meeting for 1.5 years. Since last time I've been there. It's close to the Soviet Union. Hardly anyone go there. But they wait for that meeting. They pray and pray very hard. Send him back. Hallelujah. So I have to go back because people are waiting. Next week I'm going to go back for 2 weeks also. So pray for me and see the great things going to happen. Hallelujah. It's not matter what I can do, but it's matter that I be with Jesus. Hallelujah. That's my message today. It's a talk about from Acts chapter 4. Pastor Bao asked me to share about China. So that's why I give you a lot of testimony. And because we kind of light, we're going to bring the hope to the nation, even to the cities. I just come back from the trip to East Coast. I go to a New York City. They did tell me there's such a darkness place in New York City. People drive car like crazy. I say, I don't like this place. I go to a fancy restaurant. So many young people hang around and in the middle of the night don't want to go home. I say, Lord, these are fishes. There's a fishes. How can I get those fishes? And then I next day I pray in the Father's Day on the church in the Sunday service. And usually I don't know when my meeting gonna finish. I don't know what's going on, gonna happen in my meeting. I have no control. Hallelujah. So I don't know what's going on. And I preach about Father's Day, about Heavenly Father. How's the relationship with Heavenly Father, especially my own personal experience, how to come back as a prodigal son. And God give me such a authority, putting the rings on, putting the clothes on, and receive me as a beloved son. Hallelujah. And I didn't know that we preach, we minister until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And when I'm all down, I think I can relax. And somehow there's a group of young people come in. They're original from Taiwan or from China. Also, they are gang members. One of them is a gang member, the leaders. And they just hook up with the church, one of the members. They want to come to find him. And just happen, I'm there. Hallelujah. And it's strange. Those people look at me and say, I don't want to see you. Excuse me. I don't know what happened. Sometimes I don't know why. How come those people in the darkness don't want to see me at all? They try to go to the restroom. They try to try the telephone number. They try to get the phone. They tried anyway. They don't want to see me at all. Even one lady come say, "Oh, I don't want to see you. I have to go home." Hallelujah. You know what? Because when you stay in the darkness too long, you cannot stand seeing the light. Hallelujah. That's exactly what, because God wants to do something in their life. Devil tried to get them away, and sister draw them back. You must listen to this man. You gotta listen to him. So I spent about a couple of hours speak to them. Hallelujah. And then tell them your hunger for the reality of that mighty presence, the mighty power of God, gonna change your whole life. And after then, I pray for each one of them. Ask the Satan to give me those souls. Give me to my hands. Ask the devil to give up on them. Hallelujah. And see each one of them give their life to Jesus Christ. I even prophesy to the leaders, gonna be a leader, not in that sense, but in the leader for the army of God to bring a lot of young people to come. Hallelujah. So I don't have to go out to find the fishes. I just bring the light with me, and God will bring the people in the darkness to find the light. Hallelujah. So very easy to live this Christian life. Just let your light shine. Hallelujah. People is desperate. They are in the darkness. They are tired of those fake things. They want something real. And church, you must show the reality. Hallelujah. And that's why I'm so rejoicing when I go to China, because I see the acts in reality. I not just read about it. I personal experience it. I believe that can happen in the United States too, if we can bring that favor to this country. But I tell you one thing, become an apostle. I don't care the name, but one thing is go through the suffering. In China, we'll go through tears, we'll go through brokenness, we'll go through suffering. And be crucified with Christ. That's why you get your authority from. Hallelujah. If you don't go with him, go to that road of the cross, never you can see that victorious king. Hallelujah. To manifest in your time like this. We need that experience to die to ourselves and let Christ live within you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh Lord, we welcome you in this building, Lord. And Lord, I just sense you are such an anointing in this place. That let us know with such time like this, we can do much for the kingdom. So I pray you can raise up your soldiers in this army. Hallelujah. Maybe a division, maybe a branch that will bring forth the light, bring forth the power into this darkness community, Lord. We speak the light to come. We speak the power to come. We speak the anointing of God be flow. Let the word of God be heard in this household. I pray in Jesus' name. Reveal your word, Lord, to every heart. Shaken every sick people to be healed. Lord, deliver every bondage, Lord. But may every heart won't be cold, but be rekindled with the fire of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's turn to the Acts chapter 4. When I pray about this meeting and say, Lord, what should I share? I'm going to preach from Acts chapter 4, and then I begin to share some experience I have in China, using China House Church as a perfect example to describe what God is speaking here in Acts chapter 4. And here we see some apostles or disciples of Jesus. They have been to the upper room. They have a tremendous encounter with this living Jesus. Not just live outside of them, but this time come inside with them and fill them to the bottom to the up and to the overflowing and impact the life to a point that Peter and John can walk to the gate of a beautiful and look at the crippled man and say, right side in Jesus' name. The silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I give it to you. And right side in Jesus' name. And this man instantly get healed, begin to walk. Hallelujah. One time I bring my co-worker from the United States, go to China to look at the house church. And the first thing he realized, what the difference. We have all the knowledge. We go to a seminar, we go to a conference, we hear the teaching. But we have filled our heads, but something here we are missing. He go there, look at those young people, some of them 14 years old, some of them 18 years old, some of them 20 some years old, but they are simple person. They trust what God can do in the Bible. They don't just have the knowledge, believe what God say gonna happen. And he looked at those people, 14 years old lady or sisters can raise out the dead. He looked at the people, can speak to people's life. People begin to weep. Sometimes they don't know how to preach the gospel. That you find the unsaved people begin to weep for your soul. After 5 minutes, that person begin to weep also.
Hallelujah.
That's the way they preach the gospel. They say, do you want this Jesus? He so loves you. And begin to weep for them. Hallelujah. And when this co-worker sees such a move of God, he said, I don't understand this. Somehow this passage becomes so real. He said, in the United States, we have silver, we have gold, but we cannot ask you to raise on Jesus' name. But in China, this guy don't have gold, don't have silver, but he can raise up people in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And do you know what's the difference? I said, I know. In Romans chapter 12, in the first verse, say you're going to offer your body as what? As a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. But in the United States, we rather offer our gold, our silver, as a living sacrifice, not ourselves. Oh, that's a big difference. Not many people 100% want to give to God. They want to give everything is extra. My money is yours. My house is yours. You know, everything is yours, but not me. But Lord one is a total surrender. There's no compromise and there's no deal. Hallelujah. Just, you know, I just preach in the East Coast. I say, Jesus gave them command to disciples, say, follow me. He didn't ask for permission. He didn't ask for the consideration. Say, go home and pray about it. No. Today, so many people, I pray about it. Whether I want to go to this Bible college and be trained to follow Jesus. You know, pray about it. But there, no. Jesus never asked for permission. Just give a command and you just obey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not just for a person that has been saved for 20 years. He speaks to the people who have seen this Jesus the first time in his life. And immediately follow him all the way. You know, in Cleveland, I preached this sermon, and one sister sit on the first row, begin to shaking every word I say. Next morning, call me 6 o'clock in the morning and say, I want to quit my job. That's it.
No question, no ask. Just, I heard the word of God so clear. I want to quit my job. I want to serve the Lord. You know, it's nothing you try to convince people. It's something you hear the command from the chief commander. Hallelujah. That will make a difference. So what's the difference in the 1980s? Because those young evangelists has heard this calling that Jesus said, come to follow me, no matter what cost it is. You just belong to me and I pay the price. You no longer live for yourself. Today you change your destiny and you're going to begin to follow me all the way through. And those young evangelists don't know anything, just begin to believe it and begin to proclaim this gospel to the end of war. Hallelujah. At that time, in Henan province alone, they have a slogan in the church. Whoever I meet today, I'm gonna preach gospel to them. Whoever. We talk about probably a million believers. Has the same calling, has the same vision. We just go out, whoever we met, we're gonna share about this Jesus. Such a fire, such a boldness come to those young preachers. You know, some say for a couple days, some say for a couple months, but it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Under the same commandment. So they go out and preach to whoever they meet. Turn the whole place upside down. And one sister right now is a leader in the church there, is the same age as me. At that time, she's 24 years old. Just got saved on fire. And he, you know, one day Jesus said, go to the, before the police station. And hold a public evangelist crusade. So this young 20-some years old preacher just take the chair, go to the police station and put the chair in front of the police station and stand on the chair and begin to preach publicly. And gradually people begin to gather, about a couple hundred people begin to gather together. And God confirmed with sign and wonder. And right before the police station, and of course, definitely, she got arrested. And because police is watching and police is listening, and she got arrested and been put in jail. But that's all in the plan of God. What's the result of it is she go to the jail, turn the whole jail upside down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He began to share with the people, 12 people in his same room, and become the 12 apostles, no, the 12 disciples, and then they go out to preach in the rest time to other cell group. And so they have begin to have house church in the jail and turn the 6,000 people, including the officials, all turn the light to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And now this, and then the government say, no more, I can keep you here. You're more dangerous inside the prison than outside. And she's now is the same age as I did, and she's overseeing millions of believers. We have biggest church in China, I tell you. So, but a lot of, we are unnamed preachers. No, we don't care our name much. We care about the name of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that matters. In China, you know, God used very young people. You know, I'm already old there compared in those in army. I'm old general there, but there they are very young. Some of them is below 20s. We call the young evangelists. They give everything away. They just follow Jesus when the first day they met him. And they travel all over China right now, cast a fire all over the land. Hallelujah. And one testimony I want to share. I met this young guy 2 years ago. He was only 7 years old. He was Pentecostal fire preachers when he was five. Usually what we did is we gave him the desk. He was staying on the desk and begin to preach powerfully, 5 years old. When I met him, he is 7 years old. His name is very special. In Chinese, the meaning of his name is welcome back, Jesus. But time is close. Time is close. And you know, when I meet him, his first sermon is David fighting the Goliaths. Hallelujah. Such a fire preacher. And I preach after him. And I say, we're going to fight together. Hallelujah. So it's only God can do. 5 years old can understand the Bible and preach such a fine sermon and turn everybody on fire. Hallelujah.
Oh, and look at him, I wonder what God can do. Hallelujah. Oh, so God raised up so many young leads and just all the way follow the Lord. There's a huge army is raised up in China. I hope I can bring them up, but right now it's a hidden army because of waiting the time. People waiting for the time that I'm gonna have from East go to Israel to fight the final war, that big army. I don't care about that army because I care another army that God is raising up. Hallelujah. And those armies don't fear death. We say we are the one, like a Marine, go on the first one. I don't care, I die for Christ. That's an honor to be died for Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Think about it. There's many ways to die. You can die on the hospital bedroom. You can die on the car accident. But what's the honor to die for Christ? See, that's in everyone in China. We see Christ and want to die for Christ. We treat as a great honor. We can die for Him because not much more we can do, because our own lives all belong to Him. Hallelujah. And when people don't fear death, they can preach gospel with such boldness. Hallelujah. I haven't begun my sermon yet. Just give you another testimony, okay? On November last year. We have 80 people, leaders get arrested in China. And we kind of worry, we pray for them. And because one of them very close to me, when I travel, he always travel with me. Usually carry my bag, usually carry my camcorder. And in that trip, in the final meeting, suddenly power guard hit him. He began to shake under the power guard so strong, and my camera dropped on the floor and total broken. But the couple of days later, he got arrested. So God already know before him. So gave him that power to let him to go through that hardship, that persecution. So about 80 of them get arrested. And suddenly happened in the church, there's a young believer. This young believer has gone through the same kind of persecution, so heavy he cannot stand any longer. Then one day he decided to suicide himself. He said, no more, I take this hardship, I'm going to suicide myself. This is not good. But he's a young believer, he didn't know things about this. So he killed himself and he died. But what happened is the angel come to bring him to Jesus, and Jesus said, you come too early. It's not your time yet. You do the wrong things. But I give you one opportunity to go back. So this young believer, been raised up from the dead and come back to life. Hallelujah. Even though he made a mistake. In China, I see so many people raised up from the dead. So it's nothing too strange. Hallelujah. But he's come back to death and he say, I have a command from the Lord. And he go to the leader and say, I have a command, I must do it. I must do it. I make a mistake. I'm sorry, but I must to do this to pay for it. And then leader say, what you want to do? He said, I want to go to the chief of the police station. I want to talk to the leader of the police station. Ask him to release those Christians. The leader scared, say, oh my. You ask the very hard things. But this leader pray and sense God's leading this, and they both go to the, not to the police station, but go to his private house and to ask for to see this man. And this man know this guy because he has handled this case. This young man has suicide himself. And that day he see him still alive. And also bring a message to him. He got scared. Why you want to talk to me? And he said, Jesus have a message for you. Hallelujah. And ask you to release those prisoners. They are innocent. They are nothing wrong. They just proclaim the name of Jesus. You cannot hold them there. This police, the chief of police, get scared. Because, when the people rise up from the dead, they don't not fear anything. They can go to a president, do the same thing. Hallelujah. So they have a much greater command from the living king. Hallelujah. So this police gradually begin to release those people. Hallelujah. That's just another example of what God's moved. Hallelujah. Oh! It's a powerful testimony. You can see that God's moving so strongly, and it's no one can control. So as I say, I'm not overseeing them. You know, no one knows what God really doing. So big a country, so big a church. Or we only one church, no denomination. Hallelujah. We just go wherever we go, just one church. Hallelujah. Oh, so such easy to minister there. Hallelujah. They don't look for your credential. They don't look for what denomination you are. They just recognize by the power of God. Hallelujah. By the anointing of God. And so God's doing His own strategy, His own plan. We only join what God is doing and watch what God is doing.
Yeah.
And be rejoicing we can live in time like this. Hallelujah. So same thing in Acts chapter 2. They have this experience and they go to a beautiful gate and raise up this person which had been crippled for 40 some years and see such God heal them, instantly get healed. Hallelujah. Now they there's a stir up in the cities, stir up in the officials, stir up in the government, also the religious leaders. Hallelujah. The same thing happened in China when God began to move powerfully in the house church. One thing is dramatic, it's a sign and wonder following. There's a great miracles. People begin raise up from the dead. The instant miracle happens and people, many, many people come to the Lord. And you hardly can hold those people. You see, suddenly the church begin explode. We don't have enough leaders to train them. When you talk about, do you want to give life to Jesus, serve Jesus? Everybody wants to do it. So you don't have time to train them. You don't have enough of the resource because such a move got in that time. And God also performed a mighty miracle through the household wife, through the young teenagers, through the small children. You just begin to see God move everywhere. Hallelujah. And in such time like this, you just wonder and look what God's doing, in His own church. Not just in the church itself. And then the impact the Gentile. They can watch the miracle. They will know this Jesus they preach about so real. Then they make nervous because there's a stir up in the air. Hallelujah. Then the Jesus become too famous. Hallelujah. Everybody talk about Jesus in town. Hallelujah. They wonder what's going on. And then some kind of people get stirred up. The officials, the governments, the police head. In that verse talk about temple guard. Those are religious leaders. They are the ones be stirred up. They watch what's going on in our city, in our temple. You know, in the temple used to be quiet. Nothing happening. You know, we can say whatever we want to say. We can control whatever we can control. But suddenly now, it's a man of God. They call upon this name of Jesus. Now everything began to change. Okay? If you look at the China right now, there's two kinds of churches. One is we call the official churches. One is called the house churches. But sometimes people outside have misunderstanding what's going on there. Because I tell you, it's the same as Jesus' day, same as in the as apostles' day, because the real official church is not church at all. They just like a synagogue in that time, persecute the real church, which been with Jesus in the humbleness. You know, Jesus didn't wear the real robe, you know, like a priest. He's just a carpenter's son. But he's doing such mighty miracles and get people angry. And most, he stir out those religious leaders, don't like him at all. So the official church just persecute our house churches. And sometimes we call them Judas, you know, just sold out us to the government. And they us go through the very, very hardship. But even in the midst of persecution, we have great revival. Sometimes I tell people, you want a revival? Receive the persecution. Today we talk about so much revival, but I didn't hear much about persecution because they go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we ask, in the United States we won't be persecuted for Jesus' name's sake. I say, oh, God's not changed. If you're willing to walk on this path, you're gonna go through the same thing, no matter where you are. That's how I've been going through it. I don't believe it. One time in China, I pray, say, Lord, I want this. I want to go through what they go through so I can preach to them. I can minister to them. But I must go through the same thing. And then I come back, I have a time, in the hospital, I preached the gospel, I healed a young child who was almost dying, and God shook the whole bed and healed him, but his mother hit me on the face, and when I say he's gonna be alright, he said, no, he's not alright, hit me on the face, you know, and I just said, Jesus love you, Jesus love you, hallelujah, I hit my whole eyes got black, you know. But I don't feel pain, I don't feel nothing, I just feel such joy. And I laugh at her and just speak to her and say, Jesus loves you so much. He's loving you, he's not you, you don't know what you're doing, but he's loving you. I go through the same thing, the same Holy Spirit that sustains me goes through the same power, goes through the same persecution. You know, in the past, when I'm in teenagers, if you hear me, you're gonna hear you back very strongly. But there's a change in me that I can love the enemy. I can love the people persecute me. And same thing, my brother and sister in China go through the same kind of experience in a great measure, though. So such a power we sustain them. Sometimes the police use an electric shock, try to shock them, but all the time it's not working at all. And one time police want to hit them, and not just the electric shock dysfunction, the whole hand is frozen, cannot take it back.
Whoa.
He want to hit those young teenagers, didn't know who is going with that teenagers. And then he will ask for the teenager, please pray for me. Hallelujah. And then finally God healed him, you know, and he said, you can go. I don't want to touch you. I don't want to talk to you at all. Hallelujah. And sometimes God allow us to go through heavy persecution. Where a man has been beaten, it's hard to describe the suffering he goes through. But when he goes through that heavy suffering, he just begin to laugh, and holy laugh just come upon him. He don't feel nothing. He just begin to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and see the glory of God and see the Jesus on heaven open wide up. Like Stephen, you know, when he feel the Holy Spirit in that persecution, he don't feel that stones. He only feel is the glory of God manifest to him. He see the Jesus. Hallelujah. Standing there with him. Hallelujah. Such a reality we can go through. So in that midst of time, they have a great persecution. They stir up in that city, and people wonder what those men have. And then there's a two person, they call Peter and John. There's a description about Peter and John. They proclaim in Jesus and talk about people raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Sometimes the devil try to give us into the track, sidetrack. They preach anything else, but not Jesus. See, today I heard so many sermons talk about this, talk about that, but just don't want to talk about Jesus. But I have only one message to talk about, is Jesus. Hallelujah. It's this living Jesus walk with me. That's my center of my message. That's why those disciples did. They didn't preach the big sermon. They didn't try to preach the big theory. They just talked what they see, what they heard. And very simple testimony. And then they talk about this Jesus, proclaim his name, proclaim his power, raise him from the dead. Hallelujah. And then people give wonder, people give the light to Jesus. And many, many listen and believe. By those simple sermons, by those demonstrations in their life, they see that Peter is different. Peter say, look at me. Because he know that something different happened to him. He has living Christ in him now. He's Christ-like. To a point we shake the people, because we look at him and willing to follow this Jesus us the same way. So at that time, they just did how this Jesus is alive, he's a living, he's a raised up from the dead. The same power, the same anointing is on him, is on us now.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah.